ABC Radio Australia.
Now, our next guest is making big strides in the Australian media industry, a journalist, a producer, and a radio host, which is why I'm afraid, Michael, our job security on this show takes a hit whenever these sort of interviews go down.
Yeah, look, you're speaking facts this morning, Jacob. But the fear is unwarranted because this young woman is a lovely person, I should say, and she's definitely not gunning for our jobs, Jacob. She is, though, championing our people, particularly the youths of the Pacific Island communities out here in places like Australia. Her name is Adele Luamanovai, and she works for the internationally acclaimed media outlet known as Vice. They're pretty cool. I say that as an ABC journalist. Vice, they're pretty cool. And under that publication, though, she recently popped up an article that she wrote, which I got to say, Jacob, really hit a lot of young Pacific Islanders right in the field. People have been sharing this around. Even someone, our producer's sister, shared it with her saying, "Have you seen this article? It's so good." And our producer, Emily, was like, "Yeah, we're getting her on the show. Keep up, sis." back to snoozing you go. But yeah, look, Adele, she has spoken to a number of young people for this story, some of which have remained anonymous, you know, in a very powerful piece about the kids in island households who have had to shoulder that pressure of being their family's breadwinners. Because it's a very common thing. It's a rough topic as well that, you know, we need to talk about. And yeah, Adele has, you know, given some time for us, and I got to catch up with her while you were away, Jacob. We can have a listen to her chat now. Tafalava, kia ora, Adele. Mad pleasure to have you on the show.
Tafalava.
How are you doing
today? Thank you. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good, very good. And look, now, for people who listen into the show, say over summer, we've had you on the show during our summer programming when our dear sister Sosafina Formoli was hosting. Just two iconic music journalists hanging out on the show, you know, no biggie. But welcome back, firstly. But hey, as a refresher and also, you know, those meeting you for the first time today, can you tell us a bit about your family's Pacific heritage and a little about where you grew up?
Yeah, so I grew up in Western Sydney. I was born in Bankstown and I've been here for my whole life. My mum is Māori. She grew up in Auckland and Pipiwai up in the Northland. And my dad is Samoan. I would give you the villages if I could pronounce them correctly, but I won't embarrass myself today, so I won't. But he is Samoan.
Yeah, look, I don't know what annoys the ancestors more, not naming the village or naming it wrong. So respect.
You can't win. So I'd rather lose.
Yeah, no. And Adele, you know, you're the junior writer and producer for Vice Australia, which is, you know, for anyone out here, a pretty big deal. We've read your work. It's pretty good, not gonna lie. You've also written for Acclaim magazine, Junkie Media. You know, you even find time to host your own radio show over on FBI Radio in Sydney, Australia. There's an article you just wrote. I mean, it's popped up online recently. It caught all our attention big time. It's titled, "In My Pacific Islander Household, I Was the Breadwinner at 14. Strong stuff. And the subtitle is just as powerful. It's a quote that says, "I felt like I was not looked at as their equal, but treated as a daughter with a wallet." Ooh. Now, this article has been resonating with a lot of young Pacific Islanders. It's doing the rounds in our circles, bringing up a lot of things that aren't spoken about as much as they probably need to be. Where did the inspiration to write this piece come up?
I think it was just... Well, this has always been a thought of mine, like ever since, obviously, I was 14. Even before then, seeing, you know, my parents fork out thousands of dollars to, you know, send back to the islands and things like that. And I didn't understand it at that time. But when I had to also fulfill that responsibility, it was hard, you know, very hard. And so I think we at work, we had a brainstorm about a topic that we're focusing on, which is broke. And we were looking at different ways to explore the idea of broke, what it could mean. And I came up with this idea because I associated it with broken traditions or broken culture. And so, yeah, I felt like I have not really read anything like this before. I haven't seen anything that explores things like this in the realm that I want to kind of tell the story in media before. So I pitched it. Everyone was interested in hearing about it. And so I wrote the piece. And that's just kind of how it came to be.
Yeah, look, this is something that I, you know, forward on to my partner. She's white, Bailangi. She's a well-meaning Pākehā, but like, you know, it's just like she doesn't get the whole, because like when it comes to family, they don't understand that in our culture, there's an element, big element of duty involved. It's not just like, oh yeah, this is my dad, we're mates. It's not like that. It's like there's duty involved in the relationship. And this article, again, it's so powerful. And you referred to a Samoan term that I haven't come across, fa'alavelave. For the non-Samoans out here, could you elaborate what fa'alavelave is?
Yeah, so fa'alavelave is basically gift-giving or financial support in Samoan culture. So if there is like a birthday, a wedding, a funeral, or a chief ceremony, anything that requires, you know, a lot of, I guess, financial support, you will be called upon as a member of the family to provide that. And yeah, that's basically what it is. Obviously, you know, it's, I quoted a doctor from the University of Auckland, I believe, who called it as the manifestation of love. And I think that's a really beautiful way of putting it, just because it really is that, you know, giving is love and support is love. And so this is just, you know, another iteration of that in the culture. But I guess the lens that I explore it in my article is a little bit different.
Mm. And shout outs to Lefa'ali'i, Dr. Dion Inari. He's a friend of the show. We've spoken to him a few times. Great man. Always surprising to see what else he does. And it's like, oh, wait, he appeared on RuPaul's Drag Race recently. It's like, oh, man does everything. But yeah.
Oh, look, that's sick.
Yeah, I know. Look it up. Or don't if you want to. But yeah, look. Got to ask, like, you know, because there's such a huge personal element, you know, you're really putting yourself out there in this piece. What is, I guess, your own experience within your family with fa'alavelave?
Yeah, so I, like, mentioned a little bit earlier, but from as long as I can remember, my dad, even my mum would put money towards giving, like, financial support to the islands. And I've seen it, you know, put us in really bad times, basically broke, you know. And obviously, as a child, you don't fully understand the duty and action of fa'alavelave. So when I got my first job working in fast food and I was also called upon to fulfill that duty, I started to realize, you know, I do not have ownership over my own money, the money that I earn, as little as it may be. And it was kind of, you know, especially like being in Australia and growing up in Australia, I was kind of torn between the privilege that I have. You know, it's a privilege to earn money. It's a privilege to have money that to call your own. And I was still at odds with giving it to people who were lesser than me, you know, my own family or family members who come from a developing country who don't make the money that I'm making, no matter how little it is. So it was hard. It was kind of, you know, I was just in the middle of like, you know, wanting to be that provider no matter how young I was, but also wanting to have my own financial autonomy and not be dealing with debt and financial trauma at 14 years of age. So it's been a really hard journey balancing the two, I think. But I think what helps it is talking to people who are also going through the same experience. And of course, writing about it, you know, doing it, you know, expressing my feelings in the best way that I know how, writing this article, being able to talk about it and platform voices that also have gone through a similar experience. So yeah, it's been a journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you just touched on this, but do want to zero in on it more, Adele. Like, what does it mean to be a breadwinner at such a young age? Like, you know, what are the sacrifices being made? Is there resentment involved in all this?
Yeah, I feel like for a while there was definitely resentment just because I was, you know, paying for things that my parents couldn't pay for in terms of schooling as well, whether that be uniform, textbooks, stationery, you know, the money that I was making would go towards that. And so when I had to sacrifice, you know, vital, essential stuff to my schooling to send it somewhere else. It was definitely hard to grasp. And I felt like for a while, I definitely resented the fact that this is what I had to do now. But at the end of the day, like, it is what it is. Like, that's just the culture. That's just the tradition. And it's something that for the time being, I will have to commit to because that is what has to be done. But yeah, it's just difficult. I think it's difficult to kind of manage the two and find a very healthy balance. And I think once I started to get older and also earn a lot more money, I was able to really properly designate where it went, and also communicate my feelings to my family, and tell them that, you know, I can't financially do this, but I can do something else for you. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. Big ups on the communication. I mean, like, anyone listening, can we all just communicate? It's so important, in healthy
yes,
ways, of
agreed.
Course. Communicate healthily. And hey, look, if you just pulled up, you're out here on the sunny shores of Neesha Daily on ABC Radio Australia. We're hanging out with music journalist and junior writer and producer for Vice Australia. It's proud Samoan Maori woman, Adele Luamanuvai. We're talking about her article. It's called In My Pacific Islander House, I Was the Breadwinner at 14. Ooh, I always got to take a big breath after that one because, like, it's heavy. It's heavy. I feel the weight when I just say it out loud. And, you know, there's obviously positives to, like, assisting your community through something like Fa'alavelave, which you talk about. But as a young person, again, as you point out in your article, it's a lot to carry on the shoulders. It is a lot. It messes with you. And we've spoken about the impact on the children, but how does this affect the whole family?
I definitely feel like I have been looked at as, I guess, not a plastic islander or a plastic Samoan, but I've definitely been looked at as a Samoan who isn't willing to put in the effort to be a Samoan, if that makes sense. Like, I definitely get, like, my dad has even told me, like, you and your siblings, in the view of your family in Samoa, are privileged kids. Like, you are people who don't understand the struggle of living in Samoa, and you are given everything that you want in Australia. If that answers your question. But yeah, I think. And I don't blame them for feeling that way, obviously. Like, we are, despite being Samoan, we're culturally different. Like, we grew up in Australia, they grew up in Samoa, they're from Samoa, we're from Australia, you know what I mean? So there's already some very big cultural differences. But I think the fact that I'm able to call the shots on certain things, I think they see that as me not doing all I can for the family, if that makes sense. Because obviously, you know, family is really huge in our culture. And if you're not willing to do everything and give everything to your family, then you're not family, if that makes sense. So that's like in the perspective of my Samoan family back in the islands. But here I feel like it's kind of a bit more liberating in my family. I think we all have started to kind of find our footing in this situation, and we've all been able to you know, make boundaries and just be open and honest about what we want to do with our own financial earnings and things like that. So yeah, I feel like I'm not alone, which is good, with my siblings. I think we are all on the same page, and we are all able to communicate what we do with our stuff, which is good.
What's great is you are not alone, because you do speak to a few young Pacific Islanders in this article who are feeling the pressures and burden of these financial duties. Tell us about the people you spoke with and what experiences they shared.
Yeah, first off, I want to say a huge thank you to every single person that I spoke to, especially those who decided to keep anonymous, because you could tell that, like, just from them contacting me, there's a lot of internal conflict that goes into wanting to talk about this. And they obviously feel a sense of guilt or shame. That's why they want to keep their identity hidden, which I respect fully. And I appreciate them being so willing and being so open to sharing their stories. So I want to say a huge thank you to them, and a huge thank you to everyone who wanted to also put you know, their name to it. It takes a lot to talk about this. And even some of them were saying, like, you know, they feel scared to share it because they have their name attached to it, but they feel as equally liberated because it's out there. So I want to say thank you to them as well. Everyone was just, you know, it felt so familiar talking to them about their experiences because, you know, some of them would say a phrase and I'd be like, I've said that exact same phrase like 10 times in a day because I feel the weight of it. So it just felt like it was, you know, I cried quite a bit reading some of the responses and talking to some of these guys, just because, like, it was kind of surreal, the fact that we were all, I guess, trauma bonded by this situation, by this cultural tradition. And like, we all, I guess, like, they found comfort in me and I found comfort in them, in talking about such a heavy topic, because I don't imagine that there's a lot of people out there who would be willing to hear you out or even share their own story when it comes to a topic like this. So beautiful responses from a beautiful bunch of people. I felt so much community in talking to them, and I hope that this article and these conversations resonated with people enough to open up their own conversations, whether it be with their own family or their friends or even to themselves. Admitting it to yourself and, you know, talking to yourself about things like this is still quite confronting. So, yeah, I hope that the article has been able to bring people together and spark up something within the community.
Adele Omanubay, whawhetai tele for, you know, joining us on Niji Daily this morning. And look, hopefully we get to catch up again. Third time.
Whawhetai, Michael. Thank you.